Kids, enjoy kids' church. Have fun. God bless you as you learn. Happy Family Day weekend to everyone. I hope it's been a good one. I know there's a lot of illness floating around, but it's always nice to get an extra day off tomorrow. If you picked it up in the announcements, there's an open house at Hidden Acres if you got nothing to do still. You can go check it out. I'm sure the Potts would be happy to accept you there. But I just wanted to welcome you to the first Sunday of our new series. We're kicking off a new series as we kick off Lent, and the series is called Wholeness. It also happens to be the first Sunday of Lent, so Ash Wednesday, which is what Rach was talking about, happened this past Wednesday. And Lent is a season of the church calendar where Christians remember Jesus beginning his journey to Jerusalem. Some say he set his face to Jerusalem. And Jesus' journey was no accident. It was no random travel plan. He knew what he was headed for. He knew that he was destined to suffer. And Jesus placed his faith in God's divine plan, that in order to get to the other side of death, to resurrection and new life, he had to face suffering. He knew that. And in order to experience the full, abundant, new resurrection life that Jesus offers us, we must do more than just understand and just remember the story. We will take our own journey to the cross. Throughout this series, we will join countless Christians around the world as they observe this season, and we will ask God's Spirit to examine us. Honest examination often reveals the realities of sin, of brokenness, of woundedness, disappointments, oftentimes the weight of how habitual struggles and sins take hold of our lives. And my encouragement is that we would not hide from these things, but trust God's timing and journey into deeper wholeness through Christ. Like the many layers of an onion, if you think about an onion, you take layers off, and each time there's something new to discover. And our journey towards wholeness is like that. It requires us to return again and again to the Lord who sees us as we are, who loves us as we are, and knows which layer of the onion we're now faced with. And there's a ministry that specializes in helping Christians take this deeper journey with Jesus, and it's called Wholeness Through Christ. I've had many unique and special experiences of hearing God's voice, of feeling freed from sinful patterns, and forgiving age-old wounds through this ministry. And I'm excited to be bringing and weaving in their teaching to this series. And then on March 25th, a team from Wholeness Through Christ has agreed to come and be among us on Sunday morning. And that's going to include a prayer ministry around stations. And I'm really excited about that. I'm believing that many of us will have encounters with Christ as these people who, this is what they do, day in and day out, they help people take a deeper walk to wholeness through Jesus. So we're going to be looking at these four quadrants that you see up on the screen. Each of these represent a way that brokenness enters our lives and keeps us from experiencing the wholeness that Christ intends for us. The first is sins, and we need our sins forgiven. Sins is our failure to acknowledge God, to honor him, to love him as he rightly deserves. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. And then next week, we'll talk about our wounds, woundedness, and how we need our wounds healed. This is talking about the pain from broken and distorted relationships, about how when people sin against us, it inflicts on us, it wounds, it cuts us, it hurts us. And then we're going to move into freed from bondage in 2 weeks. So this is the fact that sometimes our sins and our wounds lead to bondages, and we need to be freed from those bondages. Bondages are things that we, attitudes we have, things that we feel, and how we respond. You can be in bondage to a person, to people. You can be in bondage to things. You can be in bondage to words, a word spoken over you. You're not even sure where it came from, but for some reason you just react to a word or to an idea. You can be in bondage to a place, to a geographical location that you either have to be in or can't go to. You can be in bondage to your attitudes and beliefs. And then we're going to move to delivered from enemy strongholds. So this idea that sometimes the enemy gains control, gets a foothold in our life through some of these other areas. And if we've given him a foothold, that's territory that he has that we actually need to be delivered from. And then on the 25th, we're going to invite Wholeness Through Christ to come in and talk to us about inherited roots. This is a topic that actually overlays all the other four quadrants. And it talks about how we can inherit through the generations bondages, wounds, sins, and strongholds, that these things actually get passed down from generation to generation. There's also, I want to say up at the front end, that there's a lot of interplay between these categories. You know, you can get wounded, and then that can lead to a sin. You can get wounded, that can lead to a bondage. There's interplay between the quadrants. So I want to encourage you to make a commitment this Lent to come and listen to all four of these topics, and then definitely come to the inherited roots one. I don't always plug Sundays, and I asked Christine if it was okay if I do it this time. But because of the quadrants and the way that they interrelate and interconnect with each other, like if you come today and then come to strongholds and you're missing those other two pieces, you're going to be a little bit behind. So if you can't make it, at least listen to the sermons online. So we begin this morning in the sin quadrant, and with wholeness through sins forgiven. And the Wholeness Through Christ says this. They say sin at its broadest is the failure to acknowledge who God is, a failure to honor him and love him. They say it is more personal and more evil than just breaking rules. And that's important, that it's not just about rules that we break. So then we need to figure out what the rules are and not break the rules. Sin is much more pervasive and deep-seated than that. I wasn't going to share this, but I should, because God told me to. But this week, I was driving my son home from a function, and I saw the little twinkly lights that let me know I broke a rule. And my son was in the car with me, and he thought it was the greatest thing in the world. He thought I was about to get arrested, and he would see his dad get arrested. And he was just like, question, question, question. The cop's coming up. He's still asking questions. He's like, drive away. We got to drive away. We got to go. So it was this crazy experience. And I had to calm him down and explain. I got to explain to him about rule breaking and about how we have severity of problems in our society. And we don't just cart everyone to jail for every little misdemeanor. And the police officer was very gracious to me. I was very humble. And he was gracious to me. And no points. All is well. But sin is more personal and more evil than just breaking a rule and feeling bad about it and then moving on with life. As Marty did last week, when discussing sin, it serves us to remember the origin stories, the beginning. That anchors our thoughts. So I want to go back to the tree, the garden. I'm just going to read this passage. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So we know this story. We maybe even know the old joke, because this story is told so many times. You know, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. You've heard that dad joke, that Christian dad joke. If you haven't, there you go, dads. We know this story so well because it's our story, yours and mine. This story is true of every human heart. The shame, the nakedness, the hiding is what we do when we recognize that our sin has separated us from a holy God. Rather than a doctrinal style sermon, so the approach to sin and how to teach about sin, I could have gone a bunch of different ways, but I'm choosing to do a slightly different approach this morning. I'm going to read some selected scriptures, and I'm going to ask you to do some of this work, that this would be a personal morning for you. I want you to hear the scriptures as I read them. You can read along on the screen, but I don't recommend it. I want you to listen to these scriptures, to open to the Spirit's voice through the Word. Because as Hebrews says, the Word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I believe that. I don't believe that you need a preacher or a pastor to convict you of sin. I believe that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, that's its job. So we're just going to listen to Scripture together, and we're going to trust that the Spirit is alive and active, making the Word of God alive and active. There's a uniqueness to our sinful hearts, just as there are similarities. And the Spirit is able to meet us where we are and reveal our hearts in His wisdom. So I invite you during the Scripture readings to quiet your mind. Begin even now. Allow the passages to speak. I'm not even going to give Scripture references, and I'm going to intentionally use different versions of the Bible. And that's so that we can tune down our analyzing, tune down our contextualizing, those things that we do with our mind to protect our heart from hearing. So as you listen, you might get defensive. You might step back from the words that you hear. You might even get angry. That's okay. That's part of the messiness. Pay attention to the feeling and the emotion that comes up for you. If something sounds loud, make a note of it. Somehow, get your phone out, make a note of it. Pay close attention to any prompts you sense, as this could be the Spirit talking. And as we go through week after week through the four quadrants, I really hope that you're paying attention, because the Spirit can tell a story. He tells a story of how your sins are related to your wounds, are related to bondages and strongholds. So be making notes if you can. Let's begin. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. There is not a righteous person on earth who does what is right and never sins. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The wicked, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Don't you realize that this is not the way to live? Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in His kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. A number of you know from experience what I'm talking about, for not so long ago you were on that list. Since then, you've been cleaned up, given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God present in us, the Spirit. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. You know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, it may be true that the body is only a temporary thing, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sex. Since the Master honors you with a body, honor Him with your body. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said this, in anger His Master handed Him over to the jailers to be tortured until He should pay back all He owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And Jesus said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There are some heavy things that I just read in those passages. And each passage could be talked about in depth and explained and rationalized. But this morning, it's enough to hear the language used of sin. This is scripture. To ponder the effects of sin, to think on the consequences of sin, and to allow the Spirit to speak to us in all of this. Is there something you've accepted as okay, but really you know in your heart it's not okay? This wholeness journey that we take with Jesus is our opportunity to offload some baggage, to lighten our load. So let's open our heart. Let's open our past to the Spirit with courage, believing that no matter how uncomfortable it might get, no matter how painful to revisit some things, God wants to make us whole again, so the destination is worth it. Deeper wholeness through Christ. In Wholeness Through Christ, the ministry says this: Jesus is calling us home, away from wandering alienation, and towards a right relationship with the Father through Him. And for God's solution to this pandemic of sin, we head back to the garden. In the place and time that sin entered the world, God addresses it. In the garden, we hear God's prophetic declaration in Genesis 3. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And this is the serpent, the tempter. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So here is God's plan. God's plan is that one day, the offspring of Eve would have his heel struck by the tempter. But Eve's offspring would then in turn crush the head of the tempter. The head is a lot worse. As God's people, we've come to believe that through the unbroken line from Adam to Jesus, which the Bible is very careful to give us, an unbroken line from Adam to Jesus, the offspring of Eve, a Savior was born. And although he died at the place of the skull, being there struck, in this same act, he crushes the head of the tempter and is victorious. So as before, I will now read a selection of scripture passages that speak to our hope. The hope that belongs to all who trust in Christ. I invite you, as before, to quiet your mind and allow these passages to speak. Speak to your spirit. And if something jumps out at you, just make a note of it, jot it down, remember it for later. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. And in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And now I invite us to soak up the fresh air of these scriptures about forgiveness. Our wholeness journey is about owning and proclaiming the glorious truth that Jesus has made a way back to life. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification that you weren't able to obtain under the law of Moses. For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins. If you leave them, let them go, give up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, hearing all of these passages concerning sin, those denouncing its evil and its pervasiveness, and those promising freedom from and victory over it, when we hear that, we realize that we're in the midst of conflict. The one passage called it warfare. Sin and its effects are everywhere in our world. We find it out there, and it makes us angry. How dare they? How could they? I can't believe it. And we get upset. How could that person do that? But then we find it in here, and it fills us with shame, with guilt, with unhealthy coping mechanisms. Because the thing we're so angry about out there is just as prevalent here. Wholeness through Christ says this: our active sins, the sins of others toward us and our sinful reactions, they're sometimes so deep-seated that only the loving help of the Holy Spirit can reveal them. They're saying that sometimes we don't even know. We don't know that we're sinning. Sometimes we don't know why. We haven't figured it out. We can't see it. I checked for comprehensive lists, and a few sources had over 600 particular sins listed, those laws that you can break, and then scripture references attached. And I knew that that was more than we could absorb this morning. So we rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us, to take us, to peel away the layers of that onion and reveal our state, to get more and more healed and freed and forgiven. So as we turn our attention to my final list, the list of specific sins, my hope is that we will have the courage to acknowledge the sin that we find in here, our personal complicit relationship with it, that we might be open enough to the Spirit to hear what he wants us to pay attention to now. Start with the Ten Commandments. This is going to be selected and shortened. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods, no graven images or likenesses. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet what your neighbor has. The first four are about our relationship with God and asking us, is there anything getting in the way of how we're thinking about God, of his central place in our lives? And the next six are about our relationship with others. Is there undealt sin in our lives against our parents or with our parents, in our families, with our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, with strangers that you will never meet again? Is there still stuff that God wants to pay attention to this morning? Reading on. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, which means arrogant, setting oneself up above others. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up, a person who stirs up dissension among the brothers. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, perhaps as I read those lists to you, something hit you, something was loud, something resonated. You might say pierced you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that thing. Don't get defensive and push it away. That's a good thing. That means that the Holy Spirit is putting that finger of conviction on you and inviting you to be real this morning. You have a fresh chance to be honest with God, to stop hiding, to drag your sin kicking and screaming into his light. Trust him. Trust his timing. There's lots going on in us. But for right now, in this moment, he said that thing. Trust that that's the layer of the onion you're dealing with this morning. Holiness Through Christ says this: we can't do anything about our sin but be forgiven. That's it. They also say sin management is just something that our brains create to protect us from ourselves. The idea that you can manage your sin. It's okay, it's under control. That addictive habit, I got it. It's not spilling out, it's fine. It's contained, it's controlled. Psalm 32 says this, it's great, so encouraging. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And this means continually unfolding the past until all is told. Continually telling this story. And then you instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. That's a beautiful hope for us to hold this morning. What do we do with the discovered sin in our lives? We remind ourselves that sin that began on the backdrop of a tree, the knowledge of good and evil, it ends on the backdrop of a tree. The tree that Jesus died on. We take our tasty bites of forbidden fruit plucked from the tree of desire, which have actually become food poisoning, death in our stomachs. We take them to the tree on which our Savior died, and we symbolically nail them there and leave them there. So as we teach on sin, as we expose potential areas of sin in our lives, we also offer an opportunity to be freed from those sins. We do this because this isn't about judgment. We don't gather in a room together and say, come, to complain about how bad the world has gotten and how bad you've gotten, and then send you out. Jesus Christ's coming gives us a way out of that negative cycle, gives us a way out of that, you know, YouTube feed where everyone's just angry and angrier and spinning, bad and bad and hate and hate. It's terrible. Jesus gives us the way out of that negative cycle. Yeah, well, you did this to me. Well, you did that to me. Well, you did that to me. He's given us the gospel. This ministry is spreading good news. It's always and ever about wholeness, about our opportunity to experience greater freedom, the lifting off of heavy burdens, the shattering of guilt and condemnation. So if you've been cleaned up before, if you've come to the altar, been cleaned up before and sent out, and then you find, not as clean as I thought, or it just keeps happening, yeah, that's the onion. Come again. Instantly forgiven as you unfold your whole past before him. So now we turn to a helpful process, a tool to be real with our sin before a holy God, before our friend and Savior Jesus. He's the one who knows exactly what to do with your sin. So there's a bunch of bubbles. Hopefully you can read them up there, and I'll just walk through them. This is a way that you can deal with your sin with Jesus. First is owning it. Agreeing that what you're doing, what's been called out to you, what this Holy Spirit has put on you is sin. Just agree it. Own it. Yes, that's sin. I agree. Thank you. And that's part of that dragging what you've been hiding from yourself out into the light. And then the second is very much like it. We confess it, that this is sin, that we acknowledge we've sinned against God. You can form the words in your mind. You can speak them out loud. Pray the details, the specifics of the sin, as much as you need to feel like it's out, like it's finally out in the open. And then we repent. The decision is made to turn from that sin. Repentance involves choosing, resolving that you will no longer be complicit in those ways, that you are turning away, that you long to be transformed by the renewing of your mind as the Holy Spirit helps you. And then one of the hardest steps is forgive. Anyone involved in the sin, the origins, in the outflow of that sin, needs to be forgiven. And that includes yourself. And sometimes we can't do that. We could forgive other people, but we can't forgive ourselves. We can't let ourselves off the hook. And so we stay trapped in that sin cycle. So the problem why we can't forgive, I'm just going to spend a little moment on this, is justice. The problem is justice. We have this really strong sense of justice that's been built into us that's good. And forgiveness often feels like a letting off of justice. Well, if I forgive, that means justice doesn't work. And so we get stuck between those two concepts. And so this is where we need to trust. This is where trust and faith come in. Trusting God that He is in charge of justice. And that maybe our view of justice is flawed, and His view of justice is true. So we trust God. God, I give you responsibility for the justice in this situation. That's pretty tough. And if you're having trouble forgiving someone, this is likely one of the hang-ups that you're experiencing. And it's good to dig into that. Find somebody to ask questions about God's justice and forgiveness and grace and mercy. How do those interplay with each other? Remember that the journey to wholeness is entwined. It's interconnected. It'll be important for you to learn each Sunday how these things connect. So maybe a sin pattern in your life that you're having trouble letting go of is because it's connected to a wound, a deep wound. And the sin is a reaction to the wound. And you can't actually be freed of your sin until the wound has been healed. So these things connect and they relate. So from forgiveness, we move to being forgiven, this idea of absolution, allowing the scriptures, God's promises, to wash over you, to feel forgiven, to believe and trust that you've been forgiven. And then the final step is this odd step. It's called renouncing. And it's renouncing the nature of that forgiven sin. Renounce its power and hold over you. You would actually say this: I renounce the power of this in my life, and you proclaim it with the authority that Christ has given you. So I encourage you to practice this prayer process. Give it a shot. Give it a try. Maybe tonight, maybe later this week. Speak some of these words out loud. Become familiar with its flow. It can be a very helpful prayer as you encounter sin, as you come up against sin in your life. Now, to end our time this morning, you're going to be invited to participate in this tradition that Rachel was talking about, that of receiving ashes on your forehead. This is typically done on the Wednesday, but I didn't want to hold an extra meeting to do that, so the meaning holds even if the day has passed. The ashes symbolize the dust from which God made us. And oftentimes the word spoken over is, from dust you have been given life, and to dust you will return. Ashes to ashes. As we apply the ashes to your forehead, we're going to speak these words instead. We're going to speak, repent and believe in the good news of the gospel. And this acknowledges this dual message that we're giving this morning, that there's sin in our life that we need to be forgiven, but that there's this good news that we will be forgiven. Ashes also symbolize grief. And in this case, the grief is that we have sinned. We've caused this division between us and God. Writings from the second century church, this is second century, very early, refer to the wearing of ashes as a sign of humility before God. Now, this, of course, is optional. No one's taking attendance. You come up as you feel led. And I want to remind you that this is just an outward sign of something that is an inner reality for you. It speaks to a repentant and penitent heart. But there's no one that's going to ask you to come forward. This is optional. So I want us to walk through a prayer. I'm going to read the leader, and you can read the congregation if you feel led to. Our gracious God, Jesus taught us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus taught us to trust you completely. We confess that we have often failed to learn. And what we have learned, we have often failed to put into practice. Forgive us, we pray, in the name of Jesus, the great teacher. We confess, O God, that we are attracted to false gods and easy answers in life. We're vulnerable to temptations that could damage us in ways that are not obvious. Forgive us that sin draws us like moths to a flame. Restore us and fill us with godly resolve. In Jesus' name, we pray. Gracious God, we confess that we often lose sight of the hope we have in you. Our failures and our self-doubts preoccupy our thoughts and paralyze us from your work. We feel at times intimidated and useless in making a difference in the world. We pray for your forgiveness. We ask for your help so that we might be steadfast and faithful to you. Help us focus on what you have given us in Jesus, in whose name we pray. So as the band comes forward and plays our final song, I'm going to just invite you to sit in prayer before God. And if you feel like you want to come forward and receive the ashes from Catherine and myself, we just invite you to do that. Remember that this is simply an outward expression of an inward state. For those who wish to participate, we just invite you to come in your own time. Thank you.